من الشیطان الرجیم بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم و صلی الله علی محمد و آله الطاهرین اللهم صل علی محمد. If you remember the last verse we discussed in our previous session was لقد حق القول على اكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون. The word is realized about most of them, so they do not believe. The statement is proved to be true on most of them. We talked about that statement and how it is realized about most of the people, and because that statement is realized, therefore they could not believe. Now, in the following verses, Allah is describing the status of such people in which they are, and because of which they would not be able to believe in whatever the Prophet says. So, the following verse after لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ is إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ وَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ. So we have put fetters on their necks, and it is up to their chins, so their heads are raised. Now, the fetters which usually they on those days they put on necks of the criminals was something coming into the neck, some kind of wooden plate, in which the hands also were tied to it, and if it was a bit thick, if it came up to the chin, then the head would have been like this. I mean, if the fetter was here, the head would have been like this. Now, if it was thin, well, they could see ahead of them, they could see what was in front. But if it was a bit thick, if it was up to the chins, فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ is up to the chin, so they were like this. So they couldn't see anywhere in front of them, they couldn't see where they are going. So this is a very, very strong metaphor, actually, saying that however they try, they cannot see what is in front of them, so that they choose the right path. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا. We have put some fetters on their necks, and these necks are up to the chins, so the chins are high, and then the head is looking upwards, and they could not see anywhere in front of them. Now, you might say, they could see the sky, or they could see much, much ahead. Of course, they couldn't see what is in front of them. But Allah says this also is denied of them. They are deprived of this as well. Because, وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. So we have put some sort of barrier in front of them and behind them, and this is again a metaphor, مِن بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ. It means from all directions we have covered them, so they could not see anywhere. Now, some exegetes say that this مِن بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا, it means they couldn't see anywhere around them, and since the chins are raised and the necks are fettered, they couldn't see even themselves, they couldn't see their own body. And they say this is a metaphor of they couldn't see themselves, they couldn't see the world. Well, in the reality of matters, in what is real, they couldn't see what is real. And therefore, they are completely sealed and they couldn't see anywhere. Now, there is a sabab al-nuzul for this verse mentioned usually in Sunni books, not in Shia exegesis, except in Tafsir al-Qummi, which is not a very reliable tafsir. Sabab al-nuzul, you know what is sabab al-nuzul, the cause of revelation. Well, the cause of revelation of the Quran altogether is guidance. But there are specific causes for specific verses. For example, when something happened, someone came and asked a question from the Prophet, and the Prophet waited for the revelation to come down. That question was the cause, of course, the secondary cause, because that verse was going to be revealed anyway, anyhow. But it came down gradually after any incident, after some questions. So the second recourse for that revelation was the question asked from the Prophet. For example, the verses about the Al-Qarnayn in Surah Kahf was revealed after Prophet was asked, and it is mentioned in the beginning of the story itself, that وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِلْغَرْنَيْنِ, they are asking you about ذِلْغَرْنَيْنِ, who was ذِلْغَرْنَيْنِ, قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا, say, well, after a while, after I receive revelation, I will recite to you some sort of story about him. So the cause of revelation of these verses, they say, as it is called in Arabic, سَبَبُ النُّزُولِ or شَأْنُ النُّزُولِ, the cause was the question. Now, they say there was a cause of revelation for these verses. Now, I want to you to hear this, but you do not believe it, because in the matter of interpretation of the Quran, we had people after the Prophet, especially in the era of Tabi'un, the followers of the companions, that they did not have any knowledge of Quran, but they wanted to answer to every question. And this is a calamity. This is a calamity today as well. If you come and ask me a question, I don't know it, I try to create a kind of answer for it, so that to tell you that, yes, I know everything, isn't it? I mean, this is a kind of usual thing even today. So, on those days, where people, well, of course, some people didn't have any social status, except for saying that he is a very, very knowledgeable exegete of the Quran, he's a very knowledgeable reporter of hadith, or such a thing. So there were some exegetes who were not knowledgeable at all, and people went and asked them questions, and because they made up something to explain verses of the Quran, or they referred to Torah, to other past books, to people who had converted from Judaism or Christianity to Islam, and they told stories which were very fascinating, and so they became very famous. Now, there is a story about the revelation, the Sabab al-Nuzul of these verses, and the story is that one day Abu Jahl and some of his tribesmen wanted to go and kill the Prophet. So Abu Jahl went forward. Well, he was in his in a group of his people. He went forward, he took a stone just to throw it on the head of the Prophet while he was prostrating, but his hands were locked on his head and the stone fell from backward and he couldn't actually bring the hands down. So the verse came that إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي عَنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا, we put a kind of invisible fetter on his neck so that the hand was tied, the hands were tied to that, and they couldn't see. Well, of course, this latter part doesn't go very well with the story. And then the following verse, they say, that's وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. They say that when he returned, of course, they asked him, did you kill him? He said, no, I couldn't, because, and he said, what happened? And another one said, I will go and kill him. And when he came, he was hearing the voice of the Prophet, but he wasn't seeing him. And the verse was revealed that وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Well, it doesn't at all go with the kind of sequence of the verses which are mentioned in this surah. This is not something to say anything about a miracle. It is a reality which is mentioned in many, many verses of the Quran. That some people, they do not see anything, they do not hear anything, they cannot contemplate anything about God, and this is because we have put them in this situation. Now, the question is, before this, there is a hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salam in explaining these verses, وَجَعَلْنَا, these statements, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ, we have covered them, فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, so they do not see. He said, أَيْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ الْهُدَى, it means that they do not see the guidance. Because God has taken their ears, their eyes, their hearts, and have turned them away from guidance. Now, the question would come, and of course we have in many, many other verses of the Quran the same thing. In there is a verse which is repeated about four times in the Quran, well, in a similar manner, of course, not exactly repeated with the same wording. In Surah An'am number 25, Surah 6 number 25, there is a verse, وَجَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوكَ يُجَادِلُونَكَ يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. We have put seals, covers and veils on their hearts, lest they understand it. This is very interesting now, and it raises a question that why God does this to some people. And if He does that to the people, then of course, what's the point of punishing them if Allah puts these seals and veils on their hearts? If He is covering everyone, if no one is covered but with His will, then why is He punishing some people? Why is He veiling some people and letting some other people see? So the verse reads, we have put veils and covers on their hearts lest they understand it, and there is a heaviness in their hearts. Well, we have put the wa fi adhanihim waqra, it means waja'alna fi adhanihim waqra, and we have put a heaviness in their ears so that they would not hear you. They hear you, of course, but it is as if they haven't heard you. It is as if you haven't said anything to them. And in this way, if they say any sign, if they hear any verse of Allah, they are not going to believe. And you would see that they come to you and they start disputing with you. And it means that you argue with them, you bring the signs of Allah to them, and they start disputing with you, they do not accept it. And the question is, and I want you to answer this question, if it is God who is putting this seal and veil on hearts and ears and eyes of people, so why some people are chosen to be without these veils and some people are so miserable to have these veils and seals on their hearts and eyes? And of course, then why God punishes them if He is the one who does all these things? And the verses, you admit, of course, are really strong. It means that we do not let them too understand anything. أَنْ يَفْقَهُ, lest they understand it. We have done this lest they understand it. We don't want them to understand it. And this is why they don't understand. This is why any verse, any sign of Allah they see, any verse of Quran they hear, they are not going to understand it. So what is the answer? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
The rest is
that's right. And if you want to go to the surah itself, it is after the statement which we discussed last time, after the statement is realized about them. Because Allah said, for most of them, the statement is realized. That's a statement that anyone following Shaitan would go after him, and would not, of course, receive the mercy of Allah, which is guidance. So after the statement is realized about them, and after they follow Shaitan, it means after they have actually admitted kufr rather than iman, faith, then of course these things would come. And the reason is that Shaitan should not know anything about what is in the world of God, what is in the vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people who have followed him, so it means there is an initial kind of kufr. The initiation doesn't come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes from us. And it is stated by many exegetes, especially Allama Tabatabai, says that, well, the same thing as was mentioned by our sister, that after they have chosen kufr, after they have chosen not to go to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, the veils come gradually. The first time someone decides not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, some veils come, they feel that, well, what's the point of praying? Why should we pray? I mean, what's the point of all these worships and all these things? And a veil comes in front of their heart. They don't see the reason, the philosophy behind all these things. Then, if they continue in their kufr, other veils would come. Where is God? Who has said that there is any God at all? Why should we believe in something that we do not see? Okay, this is another veil coming. And gradually the veils thicken and thicken and thicken until if they see any sign of Allah, they would not believe in it. So it is something which we have chosen for ourselves. Now, there is a verse in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Surah number 47, verse number 24, saying, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Now, the verses are very, very interesting. I advise you to read some previous verses and some verses following this one, which I am saying. The first says, أُولَٰئِكْ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ. This is verse number 23, I think. فَأَسَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. These are the people whom God has cursed. La'anahumullah. God has cursed. And what does this mean? God cursing someone? He has made them blind, made them deaf and blind. This is the meaning of curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no other meaning for curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in fact, in these verses which you read, it talks about people who are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, he says, these are the people, of course there are descriptions of them in previous verses, who God have cursed and have made deaf and blind. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not analyze the verses of the Qur'an? Well, tadabbur is a kind of thinking with analysis. Do they not analyze the verses of the Qur'an? And the answer is, of course, well, the verse says, yes, of course they analyze it. Of course they think of, because they want to prepare a kind of refutation. They want to debut what the Prophet says. So, of course they analyze the verses of the Qur'an. But why they do not understand anything? Why they do not take heed? Because do they not analyze the verses of the Qur'an, or on their hearts are the seals? Of course, it's the second. They do analyze the verses of the Qur'an. They do think and ponder on these verses, but there are seals on their hearts. So when the seal comes, then a person is totally, totally miserable, helpless. We have to actually get disappointed about them. There's no hope anymore. If these seals thicken and thicken and thicken, then the hope would go totally. And there is a very nice statement in Dua Abu Hamza by Imam Sajjad. Of course, you see the kind of the magnitude, massiveness of humbleness in these statements. And he says that, O God, نَزَلْتُ مَنْزِلَةَ الْآيَسِينَ مِنْ خَيْرِ. I have become such that I myself am disappointed from any good coming to me afterwards because of my sins. Well, this is, well, we can't explain how humble a person should be like Imam Zain al-Abidin to say such a thing. But really there are some people which come to a stage which we lose hope in them, that they would believe. And this is why, of course, Allah tells His Prophet, advises him that you should actually do not deposit any hope on some of your relatives, because they are not going to believe. They are sealed, they are completely locked in their hearts and other things. Now, among the exegetes, there are some who believe, like Allama Tabatabai, that although these might be taken metaphorically, but there is also a reality behind all these things. A reality which we do not see, and we only see after we die. Well, after we die, our eyes opens, well, a lot. Well, it doesn't open to everything, but it opens a lot. We see many things that we did not see while we were in this body. Now, one of the things he says, apart from this life which we apparently see in everyone and see in ourselves, there is another life in us which is somehow around us, and that is a real life. And that life really, really shows, and that is our spiritual life, something which we only realize after we die, that there was a spiritual thing coming along with us everywhere, and we were not, of course, knowing about it. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ in Surah Isra, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. After people die, Allah tells them, you were ignorant of all these. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ. We have taken the veil from your eyes now. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. This is in Surah Qaf, sorry. And your eyes are now sharp. You see very well what was going around you. And he says, Allama Tabatabai, of course, if you want a discussion of this, it is in verse 26 of Surah Baqara, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَضْرَبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوذَةً, which of course, alhamdulillah, this is translated into English. So this part of Al-Mizan, you could study yourself, and seeing the arguments of Allama Tabatabai about that other life of us, which is with us in this world, and we would see it in the other world. And in fact, it is that other one of us which is going through all those phases after death. And that is what in Surah Nahl, Allah talks about, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرًا أَوْ أُنْثَى. Whoever does good, men or women, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We give them a pure and clean life. Now that pure and clean life, حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبَةً, that is something which is realized inside us while we are in this world. And we see everything different if that حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبَةً comes. Inshallah, one day we might talk about that حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبَةً. If that حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبَةً comes, we see everything different. We see everything with a new light, with a new explanation, with a new interpretation. You see things now, you don't know anything about them, or you have a kind of opinion about them. If that حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ comes, with every single thing you would see God, and the reason behind its creation. Well, of course, according to the degree of that purity which your life would attain. And of course, these might look like some myths or stories, but there are some realities in these for people who have actually conceptualized or have visualized some of these degrees, especially among people in the caliber of Allama Tabatabai. So the verses would say, actually, because the statement is realized about them, they are blinded, blindfolded, they are deafened, they cannot see. As their heads are raised, they would not see anywhere in front of them, and they are covered from every side, so they would not believe. Therefore, وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. It is totally equal for them. You warn them or you do not warn them. Because this was as well a question for the Prophet. Why I warn some people? They accept it. They receive it with a very warm heart. But some people, they as if they haven't heard it. They do not take the slightest kind of heed, they do not take any heed of what I say. So, of course, this is an answer to this question coming to the mind of the Prophet and mind of many of us. That why some people, whatever we say about Iman, is totally, well, indifferent to them. وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Now, the verses tells us one more thing which is very, very important. And that is, if for someone, for a human being, to become such as not being able to realize the truth, to see the reality of this world, to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if to get to that status, it needs lots and lots of things coming from Allah. Well, concealing them, sealing their hearts, putting fetters on their necks. What does it tell us about the nature of human being? Do you understand what I want, where I want to get at to? It tells us that initially, all human beings are capable and they are created in a way that they would see around themselves. They would see the signs of God. That our fitrah, this is what the fitrah means in fact, our fitrah is created in a way that we have to see, we could see. It is not possible for us to ignore the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we want to follow shaitan, if we want to become kafirs, then of course Allah makes a kind of new effort to put seals on us. Initially there are no seals. Initially we are capable of seeing everything. Initially we are human beings with the capability of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. But if we choose to follow shaitan and become kafirs, then those things would come. And they come of course from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he wants to bar kuffar from going to his vicinity. And of course there are many, many reasons for this, which inshallah we might discuss in future. So this is the way we are, and all these calamities we bring upon ourselves because we choose to follow shaitan. And of course the slightest sin is a kind of following shaitan, and well, slightest sin doesn't cover us, but it is a gradual process. If you don't mind about the slight sins, then gradually those covers come. The covers get thicker and thicker and thicker until they, end us up into the state of not realizing anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in Surah Fussilat, there is something very, very interesting about this. Surah number 41, the beginning verses, the opening verses of the surah. Now, after these verses were revealed, the kuffar said, okay, this is a good argument against the Prophet himself. Because Allah says that he has sealed their hearts, he has covered them. So, we go and argue with the Prophet with the same argument. So, they said, this is what is actually reported from them in the Quran. وَقَالُوا, they say, قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّةٍ مِمَّا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ. Our hearts are in a cover from what you call us towards it. وَفِي آذَانِنَا وَقْرٌ. And there is a heaviness in our ears. Well, exactly the same thing that God says about them. They bring it back to the Prophet and they say, okay, isn't this what you say? وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّةٍ مِمَّا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ. Our hearts are in cover of what you from what you are calling us to. And وَفِي آذَانِنَا وَقْرٌ, there is a heaviness in our ears. وَمِن بَيْنِنَا وَبَيْنِكَ حِجَابٌ. And of course, وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا. And they say, there is a veil between us and you because Allah has covered us. Isn't this what you say? وَمِن بَيْنِنَا وَبَيْنِكَ حِجَابٌ. So, we don't understand what you say. فَأْمَلْ إِنَّنَا عَامِلُونَ. You do as you wish and we do as we wish. Isn't this what you say? Now, the answer coming here is very, very interesting. And in fact, very obliging. قُلْ, tell them, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am a human like you. يُوحَى إِلَيْ. Well, the only difference is that I receive a revelation from God that أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. فاستقيموا إليه واستغفروه وويل للمشركين. Now, the argument of the prophet is that you were not initially like this. Both of us are human beings. It is not possible that I say something and you do not understand it. Well, it means we are from the same nature. If Prophet understands these things, we should understand these things, because we are human beings, as he is a human being. And the argument is very forceful. It means that, yes, there are these veils, there are these coverings, but these you have brought upon yourselves. And initially, as human beings, well, putting everything, every other thing aside, initially as human beings, you understand what I say, because we both have the same fitrah. So, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am a human being like you. Well, the only difference is that I receive revelation telling me to tell you these things, and you should understand it. So, I hope it is clear what is meant by these few verses which follow. Of course, this is a kind of explanation of that previous verse which we discussed in the previous session. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ. The statement is realized about most of them. That is why they don't believe. And what is the mechanism of not letting them to believe in you? And what is the actual situation which the realization of the statement would bring to them is this: إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَخْلَالًا فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ. Now, after وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ, there is a kind of explanation of who will take heed of your warning. إِنَّمَا تُنذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرِ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. You only warn those people who follow the remembrance of God, which is of course here the Quran, the most manifest type of remembrance and reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the Prophet was among the people, were verses of the Quran. So you only can warn those who would like to follow. وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ, and would fear Ar-Rahman in ghayb. Now, وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ, it means why Ar-Rahman, if it is Ar-Rahman, then why should we fear? Because Ar-Rahman denotes ample mercy. So why should they fear Rahman? Well, they fear him because he is so great, he is just. But of course there is a sense of hope as well. They fear him, but they know that he is Rahman. So they are kind of straightforward about servants, which have both fear and hope in their hearts. They fear with a sense of hope that he is going to forgive them. بِالْغَيْبِ. Now, about this بِالْغَيْبِ, there are some opinions. I just mentioned two of them, which one of them wouldn't seem, well, very plausible. I first talk about the one which, well, I do not prefer, and that is, some people say خَشْيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ, they fear God in غَيْبِ, in unseen, is when they fear God when they are alone with themselves, not in a community. Of course, in a community they might show some fear of Allah, of course they are hypocrites, but when they are alone they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it means that they are true and sincere believers. Well, this shouldn't be very right, very correct, because of course someone who fears Allah while they are alone, they fear Allah while they are in a community. And not a very kind of tasteful interpretation regarding having in mind the previous verses. Now, the one interpretation which I prefer is that they fear God before they go to him, before they go out of this body. Because when we go out of this body, God becomes so manifest that no one could help themselves fearing him. Everyone would fear him, kafir, mu'min, after we leave this body. The whole point of this life is that we are in a situation that Allah is ghaib to us. He is unseen. Of course, some people, well, just travel through all these veils and would see Allah even when they are in this life. usually the mu'minun, the believers, are in a state that they only see his signs, and they have something in their heart, some fear in their heart. And this is what is the standard of belief and faith, that you should believe in Allah, you should fear him while he is not seen. After you see him, then everything is changed, of course. Then there is no test, and the world becomes upside down. So you only warn those people who follow the dhikr and they fear Allah while he is unseen, while he is in the ghayb. And for such people, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. Give them good news that God is going to forgive them. Now, in most verses of the Quran, when Allah talks about reward on the Day of Judgment, when Allah talks about Jannah, before that, ahead of that, He talks about maghfirah, forgiving the sins. Now, most of you will say, with all these sins which we have committed, is Allah ever going to take us to Jannah? Yes, He is, because He would forgive your sins before He wants to take you to Jannah. Of course, no one would go to Jannah with any sin. No one would, well, the very famous hadith that a person having the smallest speck of arrogance in their hearts, they wouldn't enter Jannah. Now you would say, who's like this except prophets and Siddiqun and such other people? Every mu'min has lots of arrogance in their hearts. Well, of course, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ. Give them the good news that Allah is going to forgive them. Since they believe in Him, since they follow the dhikr, the Quran, give them the good news, their bad doings, their wrongdoings, Allah is going to forgive, and He is going to give them a very, very magnificent reward. أَجْرًا كَبِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرًا كَرِيمٍ. Very magnificent one. So this maghfirah always goes ahead of the rewards that we are going to get in Jannah. Now, a very interesting verse, of course, follows. Inna, after saying that, give them the good news of forgiveness, maghfirah, and reward. Well, we are certainly going to raise the debts to give them their rewards. Inna nahnu nuhyil mauta. We are going to raise the debt, and I am going to do it myself. وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. And we write whatever they have sent forward and whatever they have left behind as their traces. وَآثَارَهُمْ. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. And everything we have collected in a very clear tablet. فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Of course, this Imam al-Mubin, we leave it for next week. There are lots and lots of discussions about this tablet and Lawh al-Mahfuz and what is this. Now, Allah, Inna nahnu nuhyil mawta, how the dead are raised, we leave it for some verses which would come up in future in Surah Yasin, inshallah. But one thing, وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا. We write what they do. Well, why Allah needs to write anything while He has the encompassing knowledge of everything? Well, this is a way of recording it, because we create these amal are going to be recorded somewhere, and if they are not recorded somewhere, they are recorded in many different places at many different levels. And well, when on the Day of Judgment we see these records paying back to us, then we don't need to go to any court, of course, and that court, even if we go to it, the court of God, the final judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would be very ceremonial. It's something which we know the outcome ourselves, what would be after seeing the record of what we have done. Now, Allah says, we are writing what they do. مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. Okay, this is, of course, what we have to discuss, but we have in other verses that the angels write what we do. إِنَّ رُسُولَنَا يَكْتُبُونَ لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Our messengers, which are angels, write what they do. They are beside them, and we have in hadith that there are two angels which record, one for good deeds, one for bad deeds. But do they write anything on something? Why should these angels be there to write? Couldn't Allah himself write these things down? Well, it means it's not writing, it's recording. And these angels are somehow tape recorders. And these angels keep, well, they don't, well, tape recorder just records the sound. Well, camera records the vision. Tape and camera record sound and vision. But these angels, it is very interesting, they record everything in themselves. They are the books. It's not that there is a book that the angel would write in it. They are the books themselves. And the point is, the nature of our good deeds and bad deeds are so different that they could not be recorded in one place. It is not possible that one angel records all these things. There are different instruments for different types of actions. So we have in hadith that there is one angel writing good actions, one angel writing bad actions. It means that bad actions go into the angel, is recorded into an angel. That angel itself is only a container. It keeps all these things in itself. And of course good deeds could not go to the type of angel which is created to record bad deeds. This kind of separation of good and bad, would, whatever it goes high, it is kept separated. Good and bad is kept separated until it goes to the final book of actions of all people. Well, these angels, after we die, these angels are like tape recorders which are turned off. It turns off, it's turned off, and it is kept somewhere. The angel himself or herself, well, the angel has no sex, so the angels themselves are kept somewhere. Now, that somewhere is a greater book itself, and it is a greater angel. I mean, when we talk about books, you just imagine different angels. It is kept in that place. Now, in Surah Mutaffifin, what it says, Kalla inna kitab al fujjar lafi sajjin. The book, the record of fujjar is in sajjin. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَجِّينَ. How do you know what is سَجِّينَ? كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ. It's again a book. Okay? But it's again a book having different chapters. And those chapters are records of deeds of different people. So those angels go inside another bigger angel, which is a book. And that book is only to record and to keep the bad deeds. And of course, Fujjar have only bad deeds, the good deeds are have undergone ihbat, as it is mentioned in the Quran. So they are in that very big book. Kalla inna kitab al fujjar lafi sijjin, wa ma adraka ma sijjin, kitabun marqum, waylun yawma idhin lil mukazzabin. Woo on that day for those who deny when they see this record. Now, and in following verses it says, كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي الليين. The book of Abrar, those angels, which are their books, they are in الليين. وما أدراك ما الليون. How do you know what is الليون? Again, it is كتاب مرقوم. It is a written book. Well, it's a record again, which keeps all the angels which have gone from Abrar to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. They are kept there until the day of judgment, when they actually again come out of concealment. They somehow disfold what is inside them, and we would see it on the day of judgment. So it's a record of everything, not just sound, not just vision, every aspect of our action. Every aspect of, you could not imagine how many aspects one action would have. The intentions, the things which are behind it, the things which follow it, everything, every aspect of an action is recorded in those angels, and they are put in those books. And interesting thing about the book of Abrar, Al-Liyun, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا أَلْلِيُونَ كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. This book is witnessed by Muqarrabun, which of course, it has its own implications. Now, there are two more things to discuss about this verse, which we would leave for next week, inshallah. One is, نَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. We would record whatever they have sent before, sent ahead of them, and whatever they have left behind, the traces of their actions. And of course about Imamun Mubin, which is another thing, not those angels, of course something very different. Inshallah we will continue with this next week. And well, for 10 minutes I'll take questions because I have to leave sharp 9 today. So inshallah we would have question and answer for 10 minutes.
Okay, brothers and sisters, you've got mics here, 6 mics floating around. Whoever is ready first.
Alaykum as-salam. The mic is coming to you.
Just a minute, there is a mic coming.
Hassan, for a fantastic discourse. If a terrible sinner who has been denied, as you said, by Allah, and sealed and blinded and dumbfounded, comes along to your lecture and suddenly sees the light again, how do you explain that with God's decision to get someone completely sealed up, and then suddenly His mercy is showered on this person?
It means they have changed the decision in Kuf. As soon as they change their decision, Allah would take those seals off. And the very fact that they would go to a religious session to hear the word of God, to hear the verses of the Quran, means that they have changed decision, and Allah is always ready to change when you change. So the initiation comes from within us.
So nothing is final.
Nothing is final until you die. Yeah, that's right.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are many, many ayats. One that I could remember now is that إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها. And the other ayah is what in Surah Isra about Banu Israel. That whatever good you do it to yourself, and whatever sin and bad you do it to yourself. And the other verse is well addressed to Bani Israel, that وإن عدتم عدنا, if you return, we return. So if anyone returns towards Allah, Allah would return towards them. Allah is, well, is not vengeful. He has no greed against anyone. So as soon as someone decides to go towards Him, and we have in many hadiths, you come to me one step, I will come to you 10 steps. So this is what how it works.
It's the verses of that I have sealed. When you understand the meaning of sealed and blinded, that means there is no return for this person.
Now this, the concealment is because of their internal kufr. We have in many ayah, and of course this because the statement is realized, and that statement was whoever decides to be kafir and follow shaitan. So if internally they change, if they decide to become, then you know the point is you would not understand whatever Prophet says unless you have a kind of motivation in yourself. Now that motivation, you might just blind it, you might block it. Now you could decide to come back. Of course this decision to come back doesn't mean that as soon as you decide to come back you would be like a person who has worshipped Allah for 40 years, okay? But at least there would be a kind of hole, a penetration in those seals, that Allah would let some word to come to you to see how you receive it. If you receive it with a kind of faithful heart, the veils, well, goes away. And this is in fact the meaning of the hadith, that when a person commits a sin, a dark spot comes on their heart. And if they continue sinning, that spot gets greater and greater and greater until it covers the whole heart. And if a person commits a good action, a light spot comes on the heart. And if they continue, the light spot grows and grows until it enlightens the whole heart. Yeah.
Can I give a chance to the ladies first now, before we come to the gents?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you just mentioned, that there is room for a person to change.
Yeah.
How come then we are also talking about لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ, and wasawaun alayhim. How do we reconcile these two? That the seal, the statement is defined, and it's equal whether you want them or want them not. Where is the thin line?
Yeah, as I said, the initiation comes from us ourselves. So the statement is realized when we decide to follow shaitan in his kufr and arrogance.
So shouldn't the Prophet be still warning and warning and warning them?
Well, he warns everyone equally. His warning is directed towards everyone. I mean, we don't know whose heart is concealed, whose is not. We have to warn, we have to convey the message of Allah to everyone. But the question came to the Prophet that these things are so clear, so obvious. Why some people do not believe, do not understand, Allah explains it for the Prophet. And it doesn't mean that if they decide not to follow shaitan, and of course come out of the realization of that word, that statement, that they could not change and they could not take those concealments and veils from their hearts. It is a bit complicated, but I think if you think about it, it is pretty clear that the initiation is from us, everything is from us, and it is mentioned right at the beginning of Surah Baqara that this book only guides muttaqin. It means it doesn't make you initial muttaqi. You have initially be muttaqi to increase your taqwa by following this book. So initiation is always from us, and then guidance, light or darkness, they come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through what we do and what we decide to do.
Yes.
Muhammad alayhi salam says that the person who's noblest in front of God is a person who loves him or acknowledges him not out of fear or out of reward, but out of his own existence or his love. So how do you reconcile with this verse that it says that he only wants those people who actually fears God? And you said, as you said, when you die, you realize God, and therefore you have that fear in you. Don't you? I mean, does it not contradict what Mamali says? Maybe when we die, when we see God, we have that kind of attraction towards Him, love towards Him, rather than fear.
Yeah. Well, there are different words used for fear in Arabic and in every language. Now here, khashya is mentioned, and this khashya is a fear out of awe and respect and knowledge. If you know something is very knowledgeable, just among ourselves human beings, if they come to a, for example, you are sitting in a meeting and you know that someone very noble is coming in, he's not going to harm you at all, but the very concept of the nobleness of that person would bring some sort of khashya in your heart. And this is the type of fear which Allah speaks about, ulama innama yakhshallah min ibadihi al-ulama. So only the knowledgeable have this khashya in their heart. That fear from hellfire is a kind of being scared. Well, we don't scare Allah Himself, we scare His punishment. But the fear which is a kind of awe and respect coming to the heart, the more you get near to Him. I mean, the Prophet has the strongest and the most massive kind of fear in his heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not of his punishment, just because he saw that greatness and power in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no, the more this fear increases, the more, well, it is intermingled with a kind of love as well. It's difficult to explain, but it is how this experience has been explained to us by those people who have had it. Yeah.
Any sister?
So the last question, because it's getting...
No, okay, Firoz.
In one of your ayats, you mentioned that the Prophet replied to them, saying, Ana Bashiro, you know, like, I'm like you.
Mm-hmm.
When they had used the argument, saying that, you know, our hearts are sealed, and therefore we do not understand.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you was that there is this concept among some Muslims, the Prophet and the Imams are so high that we can never aspire, i.e. they are superhuman. That seems to be contradicting to what you were saying, or is there a contradiction?
contradicting the Quran, not what I'm saying, because that was the verse
I just
want
an explanation, because you know when people talk about the Prophet and talk about the Imams, they say that these, we can never be like them, in a sense that they were special and Allah has made them special, which seems like almost like a superhuman. That means they were not human in that sense. That's why they were so elevated. You know, the concept of Isma comes as well. So could you just enlighten briefly on that?
Yeah, of course there are special human beings, because Allah has not created any creature superior to human beings. So we couldn't, if we say that they are not human beings, we could not categorize them in any category of Allah's creation. Because, well, either we should categorize them in angels or in ruh, which is a very, very, of course, superior kind of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since there is nothing superior to human beings, the only way for us is to categorize them as human beings. Now, the only difference is that human being has different degrees of perfection. I mean, when Allah says that to angels, you have prostrated to Adam, we shouldn't think that angels are prostrating to us as well. No, that's totally false. And we could be very vicious. We could be the worst creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the best creatures of Allah. It is mentioned in the Quran that those who believe and do good actions in the real sense of the word, they are the best creatures of Allah. No ruh, no angel could reach them. Now, those who are vicious among you, they are the worst creatures of Allah. No animal could, no beast could ever reach them in viciousness. So, human being is a kind of graded creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We could be human beings, and we could be worse than many beasts that Allah has created. We could be human beings better than angels. But the point is, the force of that argument is that all of us could be. We have the capability of receiving all these things and seeing these magnificent things. Okay, thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. See you inshallah next week.